Pastor's Heart, and Dominic Steele here, and today, what TV professionals want preachers to know about communicating through a camera. My guests are two very old friends, Evan Batten and Paul Richards. Both have worked in the TV industry for more than 20 years each. Evan is a TV reporter, and Paul's big task over the last decade has been as supervising producer for the Seven Network Sunrise. Both former members of our church and members of our Christians in the Media ministry. But before we come to them, look, we'd love and we need your support for this Pastor's Heart ministry. There's a small crew of us work on this, and it's not yet financially self-sufficient. We want to grow the ministry, but before that, we would like and in fact need your support. So you could go to patreon.com/thepastorsheart and help us out there. And why don't you start with $5 a month? We are talking visual things today, and I know a lot of our audience consume the Pastor's Heart via audio podcast, but this may be an episode that you may actually want to watch as we go through this. Evan Batten from Seven News in Sydney, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Paul Richards on the line in Canberra.
Great to be here.
Paul, the Pastor's Heart, and let's start with you. We're thinking about the heart of a pastor, but also the heart of the pastor as we engage in the media, and there are some specific really theological and heart issues engaged in this whole process.
Yeah, I think the big thing to keep in mind with all of this is that our job is to be faithful in the way that we talk about the gospel, and that actually at the end of the day, people's hearts will be moved and changed through the Holy Spirit. So production values and all those things are important as far as they can go towards helping you be faithful. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important to keep in mind who it is who does the changing of those hearts.
Now, Evan, we got a lot of people here on a very, very steep learning curve. And it is quite a different thing presenting to an audience to presenting to a camera. I mean, I remember you telling me years ago that actually helping Leading Church had helped you with live crosses for TV.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But so there are some similarities, but there are some distinct differences.
Oh, look, I think as you approach it, people often think you've really got to be quite formal about how you present, and you can almost fall into the trap of becoming like a robot and reading off a script and really have that deer in the headlight moment where you're like, oh my goodness, they're watching. And the more you can relax yourself and pull yourself away from that and almost imagine a room full of people while not presenting as if they're there, but in your mind, imagine that you're talking to a room full of friends.
When you say a room, you're meaning an auditorium or a lounge room?
Well, like you imagine in your mind, you think, here's church. This is just like church normally, but then the way you act and the way you present obviously is very different. But if your heart and mind can just be centered on, these are friends I'm talking to, I don't need to suddenly act as if I'm reading out a list of commandments from in a detached robotic style, you lose people, and really they stop listening to what you're saying and they wonder, why does he look so like a cardboard cutout or a puppet or a robot? Just the more you can just be casual and having a chat, that I think that helps a lot, which is where I remember that comment actually, Leading Church, it helps you when you're suddenly looking at a piece of glass and trying to think, how do I make this real? Well, you've got to remember that you're talking to people there, and it's really as simple as having a conversation, really breaking it back from any sort of formula or speech pattern or, you know, style of performance. Just bring it back to you having a chat to friends. And
yet it is different, somebody watching with one or two other people in a lounge room to sitting in the auditorium. How does the genre change? How does the medium change what we're intending to communicate? Maybe Paul, you could jump in there.
I think by nature, broadcasting to a camera, you need it's more intimate. You can see me up close in a way that you wouldn't be able to see me if I was standing up on a stage when preaching at church. And you have to keep that in mind, that someone watching you on their TV screen or their phone are looking right at you. So it should be delivered in such a way that you're just having a conversation with someone.
So maybe you be more muted in the lounge room kind of thing than if you were kind of on a big platform moment.
Yeah, you're definitely not broadcasting to a room full of people. You're broadcasting to a person or a group of people, perhaps in their lounge room. So I do think that that is worth keeping in mind in the way that you're speaking, and make it a bit more personal if you can.
How do you communicate warmth and emotion through a camera, Evan? We'll start with you. We'll come to you in a sec, Paul. Yeah.
It's funny because it's so many things all at once. But on that point, I want to say straight away, if you imagine just talking to one person who you are quite close to, and really that's kind of the sentiment that you've got to have in your mind, and it's really what's going on in your heart. And if you're just so anxious and your world is so closed and you're so tight on reading these words off this page, and you're just barely trying to have eye contact, that's the fail. But if you can just, you know what you want to say, it's in your heart, and you're just trying to get across some ideas to people about how you just, and you're not trying to be anyone but yourself, so you can't get this wrong, right? You can't fail, you can't fall off the cliff. You just be yourself and talk to the people who you know are there listening. That's the kind of idea.
Warmth and emotion through the lens, Paul. I mean, you've obviously given feedback to different TV producers, different TV presenters. I mean, as in the Sunrise thing, there's obviously been different presenters who've done it well and not so well, and you've tried to coach people. What things have you said?
The simplest thing that you can do is remember to smile. You might have noticed that when I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm actually have a just slight warm smile, because I think all our natural resting positions with our faces is not a smile. It's just a blank look. So those simple body language cues that you can give that make your appearance more inviting to watch and to listen to are very simple, but you actually have to intentionally do them. And the other thing I think is just think about the way that you're holding yourself and you're carrying yourself. You want to be careful about where you're putting your hands. You don't want them suddenly to be up around your face. And just communicate clearly, warmly, with a smile, and try not to move around too much.
One of the things you said to me earlier as you looked at some of the things I'd done, you said, my gestures were reaching out of the screen and I needed to keep my gestures within the screen. Do you want to just explain that?
Yeah, I mean, it's simply that I think by all means use your hands, but be conscious of the fact that if I suddenly hold my arms out of the screen like this, I'm not going to get the point that you might be trying to make if you were doing that standing up on a stage. So you just have to think about all those body language cues and the way that you're communicating that is different in this medium.
What about one of the things I've noticed as we've moved to, if you like, online church over the last month, sermons have got shorter. Do you want to comment on that, either of you?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this a little bit, and just, you know, from mine and Evan's background, most news stories on the 6 p.m. news are only about a minute and a half in length. In fact, the average watch time of videos on Facebook is 21 seconds. And you've got to think about the attention spans of the people that you're dealing with in an online medium is actually quite short. Now, I think there's a different level of buy-in when you're tuning in to watch a church service. There is an expectation there that you're going to be sitting down and have a bit more of a lean-back experience and watching for a period of time. But you're exposed to a lot more distractions when you're watching a service at home or on your phone. In a sermon, in a church, if I wanted to, if I got bored and wanted to get up and leave, I'd actually have to stand up with everyone else sitting down and walk out of the building, which would be quite a statement. Whereas it's very simple for me to simply decide that I've had enough or be distracted by something else happening in the house. So you have to keep the messaging clear, simple and concise, I think, particularly in this environment, to make sure that you actually get to the points of the things you want to say without losing people's attention.
And really, for 30 minutes, one shot on one speaker, when it's quite a wide shot, is not going to work. Evan?
Look, I'd love to see every church have 3 or 4 cameras. It's just not possible, though, is it? But you've got to weigh that up. What are you expecting people to watch? And really, it's a useful exercise, and I'm sure most people would do this, but to actually sit down and as a punter, as one of the people in your congregation, see what their experience is like. So watch it from home. You'll get a feel for it. yourself quite quickly what worked and what didn't. It's just too long. When I did that, it didn't work. You'll see why, and those sorts of things. So,
how? I mean, if you do have the luxury of having several shots, what shots should you choose, and how frequently should you switch between them, Evan?
I think, even though the church is empty, and you might automatically think we're just going to focus on Dominic and a tight shot and a mid shot and a wide shot, I think people at home still want to see what's church look like. So give them the wide shot as well, but make sure that you know as the main speaker when they're cutting to the wide shot, and make reference to the fact, oh, look, here we are at church. You know, we know you're all watching at home in your lounge room and it's not quite the same, but look, you know, we're here, and just some sort of reference to it. But it obviously doesn't have to be for, you know, the whole time. You then want to sort of come in tight, and, you know, that'll as we can see here with Paul, it's just head and shoulders, and, you know, that's the main part. That's really, well, a lot of your communication is with your eyes. And so you do want some shots for most of it that will hold in pretty close. But how often you change,
mm-hmm.
that's a good question.
Well, Mr. Producer, how often do you change, and what sort of shots should you pick?
Yeah, I mean, I do still think that whoever you have talking, you want them to be the thing that people are listening to and not being distracted by endless pictures and wide shots and supers and, or, you know, look like someone who's just discovered PowerPoint and they're wanting to use all the animations in it. But you really wanted...
Which actually is a bit of a danger for lots of ministers at the moment who are just discovering iMovie for the first time.
And the number of, you know, Hawaiian backgrounds in Zoom chats and all that sort of thing is you know, it's a bit of fun, but realize that everything that you put on the screen has the potential to be a distraction. So that's one of the reasons, even with my background today, I chose a deliberately blank background with just me, because I knew that my picture was going to be included as part of a wider set with both you, Dominic, and Evan, as well as other things in that shot. I didn't want to add more clutter to that shot that would be a distraction. So that thinking actually goes to everything that you might do during a sermon as well. And think everything that you include in there can either be supporting what you're trying to get across or a distraction. So you've got to really use a critical eye as to what it is you want to include.
Broadcasting is much less forgiving than just doing it in the auditorium.
Look at Paul, we've got him here on the screen, and you know, you've got to think about things like, if I'm nervous and I'm sweating and my face is shiny, which he's not, consummate professional that he is, but if you are, that's going to be magnified. And so ordinarily you might not think about powder or even, I've been caught in situations out on the road before where I've got nothing, I'm in the middle of a bushfire, and I've been sweating, and so my face actually is very, very reflective just because of the natural oils and perspiration. It's a distraction, and so grabbing anything like a bit of Chuck's Super Wipe or a paper towel just to wipe the sweat and the oils off your skin and your forehead, particularly around here and just on your forehead, cheeks, that'll just stop the shine straight away. And you'll notice the before and after is quite marked. But there's nothing wrong with getting a neutral powder. They're about $20 or $30 each. Or you might know someone who's got some in their makeup kit already. And just dabbing a little bit of powder on, it'll just take the shine off. Small things like that will actually make a difference to how people watch. And given, as we've been talking about, you're wanting people to watch for 15, 20 minutes, 25, all of this matters. It's suddenly all an issue that you've got to at least give thought to.
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes to the point of whether or not you should try to broadcast live or whether you should prepackage or have a combination of both. I'm always of the view that know why it is you're wanting to go live, and if it is for that interaction, then that's terrific, but perhaps there are other ways to do that, and if you're not really used to broadcasting live, maybe you want to look at pre-recording and making sure you avoid some of those mistakes. At the end of the day, you want to give people more reason to tune in again next week than not to. So if you end up broadcasting, there's all sorts of technical problems and whatnot, that could be more of a disincentive to tune in again and detract from the message you're trying to get across than if you were to pre-produce. So that's one of the reasons why church has decided to pre-package our services, because we know that we can control the product, that it can be what it is that we expect to go out, will actually go out, and we're doing the interaction another way. But it is quite a leap then to go to actually doing it live and streaming live, and obviously takes a different level of expertise as well.
Evan, you have a different view on live.
Well, I do agree with Paul in that if it's going to go really wrong, you know, spectacular, you're just too nervous, or the technology's not right, then maybe don't try it in the first 5 minutes. You know, you can build up to this over 3 or 6 months. Who knows how long
this is going
to go on for. It could be quite an issue. So something to work towards for sure, because I think the buy-in that people have as an audience sitting at home is so much greater knowing that it's live. So I just think of my own example last Sunday, watching on the couch with my wife, and the kids came running in because they're watching pre-recorded Kids Church, but they've hit pause on theirs and they come running in to show us whatever. And we're like, you can watch it later. No, we don't want to watch it later. We want to watch it now, because even though the prayer and the songs are pre-recorded, still there's the live announcements, the MC is live, and then, of course, the sermon's live. And so there's that sense of this is what our community, even though we're all sitting in our homes, we're all watching this now and we want to be part of that. So there's real strength that comes from that. And also, if you do, depending on how you've got it set up, we watch it on YouTube, you can see the comments as well. So all, you know, there's 40, 50 other names sort of popping up, and, you know, comments, they're all saying hello and buying. So it really is a live, interactive experience.
Communal experience.
It really is.
Yeah. Mm. Paul, on the issue of how we speak as preachers, we've been used to saying, now some of you here might feel like this. How do you speak differently if you're a preacher speaking to a camera and an individual to if you're speaking to a preacher speaking to a room?
So there are two things, really. You can be much more personal when you're speaking on camera, but you're speaking more to an individual than to a room full of people, even if there are a few people sitting on a couch listening at that particular time. Address, say you rather than those watching, or everyone out there. You can really afford to be much more personal. And then the second thing goes to the way that you use your voice. You're not broadcasting from a pulpit to a church full of people. You can be a lot more conversation and almost personal in the way that you use your voice. You don't need to broadcast it from the front of a big room. You're just speaking to someone as if they're on a video call with you.
What shots do you recommend people using?
Well, what I've noticed we're doing at St. David's is the shot is very similar to if you were sitting in the pew looking at the lectern from, you know, and so it's probably just a little bit wider than we have on Paul here. I mean, this is good for what we're doing now, but, you know, it might just go out a little wider to sort of just down about here. That then gives you sort of a frame to about there. I mean, that's not bad. If you've only got one shot, that's probably the one I'd go for.
Then what would you add as a second and third shot if you had that luxury?
Look, I'd like to see a combination of the extreme wide shot of the room that's very rarely used, but is good at the start, and then to cut to just at different points. So in your talk, if there's sort of chapter headings in your talk, maybe you do that, and I'm not saying literal chapter headings where you announce it, but psychologically, if you want there to be a mental break in the talk, well, then that can be the cue. Maybe you've given a copy of your talk to whoever's cutting between your camera shots, and they know, oh yeah, we're about to change to chapter 2 of Galatians here, so we'll go to the wide shot there. But then another good one would be the head-to-toe shot, so that, just people get a sense of the room. But really, as Paul said before, you don't want this to be a distraction for people. So if it's the novelty that whoever's pressing the buttons to change the shots has just learnt how to do it, you just really want to treat it with, you know, discretion.
Well, Paul, you were talking before about not being distracting. How can shot choice and shot changing increase my paying attention rather than distract?
Well, I was talking also before about the prepackaged service, and something that I've been encouraging my church's minister to do is when he's recording his sermon, think about taking some cutaway shots, and so because it's pre-recorded, we can actually record those after he's finished the sermon. And what I mean by a cutaway shot might be an over-the-shoulder shot of him with his Bible open, looking down at the Bible. And they're just really useful devices to be able to mix to cut between during the service. And they can, if you're pre-recording a sermon, hide some edits after the fact. But yeah, those sorts of things used wisely can actually really contribute.
What about scripting? And different ministers are going to take different approaches. Some might use a teleprompter, some have a full script that they look down at, some are speaking to bullet points. But I'm seeing quite a lot of ums and ahs on camera at the moment. Have you got any advice here?
I love it. I love no script. I love, you know, the bullet points are clear in your mind. What you're wanting to convey to the audience is just there. I mean, that's not realistic for every talk, is it? But that's the most engagement I've seen. I can think of right now the talks that I've been a part of that I've watched, where the person speaking has actually had something there that they've referred to occasionally, maybe every 3 or 4 minutes, but they know what they're saying. The skill set that person has that not everyone does is that they know not to say ums and ahs a lot. They work quite hard at it, but they're not robotic. They're not an actor presenting lines. They're speaking from their heart about what is important. And when they refer to the passages, they're reading that. But it takes you as a person sitting there watching that, it takes you with them, because the conviction that they put across, that they convey in that time, is so much more real compared to reading the notes and looking at the screen. But that's not every talk, that's not every week. That's the ideal, though, for my mind, because the cut through to the audience is so much greater.
Paul?
If you're going to use notes, what I would say is have those notes or bullet points just beneath the camera. We're quite used to, in conversation, people looking down while we're speaking to them. So an occasional glance down to some bullet points just below where the camera is perfectly acceptable.
What about dress on camera? Does the camera make any difference to what clothes you wear compared to normal church life?
You want to check what it looks like on your cameras, because not all cameras are the same. Some cameras will have an effect called strobing, which I don't know if your check shirt probably wouldn't be strobing, but fine lines will create that look on some, probably most cameras, particularly older cameras, will strobe. And it's where there's this almost psychedelic kind of superimposed graphic kind of look that comes across. And it's just because there's something that the camera can't detect the fine lines as they are. A lot of the cameras these days don't seem to have the same sort of problem. So you just want to at least do a check beforehand, stand in front of the camera and go, is this causing any of those technical strobing issues? But then I suppose you just want to wear what you'd normally wear as well. And, you know, what you're comfortable in is probably really important.
Yeah. Lighting gear, Paul.
Well, what I've got set up here is actually three lights. I've got a light directly in front of me, which is filling the shadows on my face. I've also got a light over my left shoulder, which I'm using as a fill light that essentially lights the back of the room, but rather than shining directly across towards me, it's bouncing off the ceiling. So that is sending light to the ceiling and then distributing it around the room behind me. And then there's a third light over my head, which is a hair light, and that is just adding a slight touch around the hair. Now, not everyone has the luxury of having a setup like that for lighting. You can actually achieve quite a lot with just a lamp behind your computer. So I've seen some great instructions from a filmmaker called Tom Ford, who said if you have a lamp behind your computer that is shining down, and we can put a link to this as part of this broadcast, but and then a piece of paper that the light shines towards, and that will bounce and add some fill light to your face. And so even a simple lamp can actually add a lot. It's the direction that you actually pointed that matters. And rather than pointing directly at you, you want to bounce the light so that it helps fill the shadow on your face rather than create some sort of distracting shadow.
This would actually be true for somebody just engaging in a Zoom conversation as well as the broadcast situation that we're talking about here. What I'm noticing at the moment is a lot of people are using little clips of congregation members reading the Bible or praying in their services, and some of those are dreadfully shot, where the person is in darkness and the wall behind is all bright and things like that. How should I actually just position the camera, my phone, in that situation to not make a mess of it? Evan.
I think the first thing I've seen go wrong with that is having it down too low. So really, you want to have it at the height that the audience is going to be looking at. So eyeline height is probably a good starting point.
So you put the camera at the level of your eyes.
Yeah, and that might mean getting somebody else to hold the camera for you, mm-hmm. Your phone camera, if that's what you're using. But that's sort of a starting point, at least.
I mean, I noticed, Paul, you've got your camera at your eye level. You're just using a laptop as your camera?
That's right. Yeah, it's a laptop, and then I've got a stand, which the laptop is elevating. If you don't have a laptop stand, just pile up a couple of books.
Pile of books, yep. Yeah.
But and you're, have it at the eye line height.
Your laptop's not sitting on your desk, and so we've had person after person do a Bible reading or something from their laptop, but they're a minister preach a whole sermon looking at their laptop, and they're looking down from on high, and we're getting the whole sermon up their nose.
The other really simple thing that you can do is turn your phone on the side. The number of people who record videos that are in portrait mode, which is one thing if you're planning to post them on social media in a Facebook or Instagram story, but turn the phone on the side. If it's going to be edited into a wider sermon or service, chances are it's probably going to be put on a platform like YouTube, and there's probably going to be people actually watching that from their televisions or laptops at home. And you don't want those two big black bars coming down the side. You want to fill the screen, and the simple way to do that is to tip your phone on the side when you record. And I really liked the point that you made about getting someone else to film for you. If you possibly can, have someone else do it. If they have to kneel on a chair or something like that, you're going to get a much steadier shot than you trying to do the reading, look down at the Bible and hold the phone at the same time. So yeah, definitely get other people involved if you can.
Evan?
Yeah, I'd agree. I like what Paul, if I can just grab your phone, Dominic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of social media stuff, we film like that.
Yeah.
And you take selfies like that and all of that. But TV screens
are that shape.
So you want to just encourage people to film it like that. Because how many times Paul and I have you get the phone vision of the car chase or the robbery or something, and he's talking about you've got to have the black, then gets put down the side or it gets zoomed, it gets messy,
yep.
Basically. So, yeah, just if everything can be filmed that way and held up at about this height, eyeline-wise. Yeah.
Great. Gentlemen, thanks very much for coming and talking to us today.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
My guests on The Pastor's Heart, Evan Batten, journalist with the Seven Network, and Paul Richards, who is the Communications and Outreach Director for the Australian Academy of Science. And you're with us on The Pastor's Heart. We hope you can join us next Tuesday afternoon.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.